南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Okay, Namo Myo Renge Kyo. Hi everyone, thank you for joining me here today. Sifu Sylvain with you. Bad hair day and all. Whatever's going on with this beard. Let's concentrate on more important things. Selecting the right time. Let's continue with Nichiren's exposition on the state of affairs in Japan in his day, and how Buddhism had been corrupted repeatedly over time, really, requiring great scholars, bodhisattvas, if you will, like Tendai, Nagarjuna, Vasubandhu, all names that we're familiar with in the lineage, Miao Lo, Dengyo, and now Nichiren, simply not rewriting anything, but calling out other people's, infusing their own politic, their own ego, their own desires for power, emperor's support, lands. It's all very, what shall I say? Should I say capitalistic? It's all self-aggrandizing stuff that's been pushed into the scholarship of Buddhism in order to accomplish something not Buddhist. And so repeatedly over the thousands of years after Shakyamuni's passing, there have been bad actors who even very well studied scholars themselves, with their knowledge, absconding the meaning of Buddhism for their own purposes by adding and misinterpreting and flipping, just outright lying in order to advance their own personal agendas. And these are not just like you and me, just these are people in high esteem. So when they do it, it pervades the entire following, the entire body of the Sangha, those who are following these esteemed leaders. And in Nichiren's day, as we read, it's the entire state of Japan. Yeah. Not uncommon. The emperor gives an edict and he says, this here's my boy, do what he says. You tend to do what he says. Or if you don't, at least, you're pretty quiet about it. Yeah? Looks like we may have some rain. So if you hear some rain noises. So here we're going to continue in Nichiren's dialogue with perspective on how do you know which teaching is appropriate to the time? Because Shakyamuni talked about this. So this is known in the scholarship of Buddhism. Anyone who practices Buddhism pretty much has some idea that what they're practicing is appropriate for their capacity, their time. Although these bad actors turn that capacity into some kind of intelligence meter that they can judge. It has nothing to do with it. That's not Buddhism. Buddhism is about the sheer capacity to understand, to inculcate this Buddha into our mental perception, our mind of perception. And we now live in an age where that's very direct for not only because of our evolution as a species and our evolution of mind from all our experience of life, but also because we need something that's vitally immediate and direct in the face of unknowable, uncountable, unfathomable numbers of influences that we're having to deal with constantly, right? Phones, radio, television, computer monitors, everything that we engage with in our daily life. It's more prevalent than one-to-one dialogue. Ask yourself in your relationships with other human beings today, how much of that relationship takes place over emails and messages and texting and on and on and on. Even our face-to-face calls on Skype or FaceTime or Zoom or what have you. Those applications, those technologies are all information technologies, and we have become information. When do we really connect? Right? Karma to karma. Interact. When do those relationships actually take place? And when they do, how much are they compartmentalized? We need a direct way, a direct method to invoke Buddha. And that's the Lotus Sutra. Very conveniently, simply with your commitment, because, you know, even the best paint doesn't make a picture worth a damn unless you're focused on doing something great, right? A piano is a beautiful instrument, but unless you're focused on creating something genuine with it, it's just noise, a noisemaker, a potential noisemaker. We can take that apart forever, right? So, when is the right time for a teaching? When is a teaching known for the time it's in? What is the correct teaching for this age? What is the correct time to create a relationship with another human being in order to help them attain Buddhahood? All of these questions all are about time and relationships. And Shakyamuni was quite specific about how this should be done, how it could be done. And it's an individual practice, right? Self-practice. So much more by influence do we help those around us, people we don't even know, by carrying that bodhisattva mindset, maintaining to the best of our ability our Buddha lens, our Buddha-ness, our Buddha way of perception as we navigate the world, coursing as bodhisattvas. Yeah? All this terminology, all these words, all trying to say the same thing. Awaken and maintain your awakeness. And by doing this, you are influencing your environment because your environment is a reflection of you. And the other way around. This is a profound formula that completely negates the idea that there are forces outside of ourselves that somehow influence or control us. That's folklore. That's magical thinking. We're not puppets of other forces. If you want to use that analogy of puppet, we're the puppet master. The puppeting is ourselves. Right? So here we go. Factual proof of Shingon as the cause of national destruction. Another way to put this is, this great, it's polite to say fallacy, because as you read it with me, this Shingon sect was completely aggrandized and created out of a willful turning Buddhism upside down on its head and wresting away the position of the Lotus Sutra and claiming it as the Shingon Sutras. The Lotus Sutra is just, it was an aside of the Buddha of Infinite Light, or what was it? I always forget the name of that. I'm telling you, getting out the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. Anyway, they had Pukung and his ilk and the tradition of Shingon all began with a concerted attempt to dethrone the Lotus Sutra and replace it with these other methods, right? Mudras, mantras, magical spells, hand positions, finger positions. It sounds ridiculous to say that today, but, you know, you're talking about a very authoritarian time period in human history, in the West as in the East. You know, it's like the Crusades. It's a false analogy. But I'm referencing a time period of just great upheaval in thought. Right? The medieval times. And so in Japan, they were run by dictatorship, authoritarianism, you know, life and death every day. Do what I say or don't. Yeah. Let me present the real proof, Nichiren begins, that Shingon is the Buddhism for the destruction of the nation. Since all the Shingon monks in Japan pray for the defeat of the Mongols in the present war between Japan and the Mongols, if Japan should win the war, we may believe in the superiority of the Shingon Buddhism. Right? If you're just a follower doing what you're told, then that would be more proof. However, we have as precedents the Jokyu incident, in which the shogunal regent, Hojo Hoshitoki, for whose chastisement many Shingon monks prayed, won the war. As a result, it was as though they prayed for the banishment of ex-Emperor Gotoba to Oki Province and his son, Emperor Juntoku, to Sado Island. In the end, as howling foxes are killed by dogs, all the 3,000 monks in Mount Hiei were attacked and forced by the shogunal army to surrender. It was exactly as predicted in the Lotus Sutra, chapter 25, that when someone curses others, the cursing will come back to himself. Nevertheless, the Kamakura shogunate is again asking Shingon monks to pray. Does it have them pray for the destruction of Japan? One who knows this well is the wisest in the world. We certainly must remember this. So that's a story of the emperor, because he backs the Shingon monks, this upside-down Buddhist sect, and he asks them to help win the war, right? And whether they can or it happens by mere coincidence, they're certainly going to take credit for it. But what happened as a result was that the shogunate's own army of samurais went in and just slaughtered a bunch of monks. Now is the age of warriors at Kamakura. We're in the midst of just this great turmoil of war all the time, within the country and from invaders. So Shingon monks of the Toji Temple, Mount Hiei, and Onjo-ji Temple, and seven temples of Nara, as well as those slanderers of the true Dharma who read the Lotus Sutra without knowing what it stands for, have gone to Kamakura in the Kanto district to kneel down, bow their heads, and cater to the whims of the warriors in order to win leadership of the temples. These are all just power-hungry people. You know, we'll do this. We'll kowtow to the warriors just so we can get back into the temple and have, you know, the land and the power of influence and be under the emperor's wing. There's no thought of Buddhism there. It's all political maneuvering, right? They pray for the tranquility of the nation with the false teaching, which had caused the downfall of the imperial house at the time of the Jokyu incident, and the shogun, his retainer warriors, and all others, all believe that peace in the land will be ensured by their prayers. I doubt it, but that's the position they're taking, whether they believe it or not. Meanwhile, since those in the shogunal service are monks who are against the Lotus Sutra and are fountainheads of calamities, this land will certainly be destroyed. So he's made this point over and over and over again, although he's glossing over it here, kind of a summary, that if you're practicing and pushing poison into the world, then expect to get sick. Expect the world to reflect your sickness. It's a simple formula. If you spit in a mirror and you look in the mirror, you have spit on your face. It's that direct. It's that simple to understand. Okay? Next chapter. Prime practicer of the Lotus Sutra in the latter age of degeneration. So how should one practice the Lotus Sutra correctly? Obviously, we get tons of examples here. Very obvious that the Lotus Sutra is the culminating teaching, and not only the culminating teaching, the teaching for this age. So how do we turn the tide? How do we make this happen? Because it is lamentable to see, Nichiren goes on, the possibility of our land and ourselves destroyed, I have determined to point this out even at the cost of my life. Even if you shoot me for saying that the emperor is naked, I must say it because it must be said. Not because I'm special, but because, geez, I have a mind. Come on. This is Nichiren's point of view, right? If the ruler of the land wishes to maintain peace, he should have begun to wonder and investigate what I have said. Even if I'm the only one saying it, he should look about him and his history, and surely any reasonable mind would question what he's being told all the time and that it's not working. Going on, believing in only the words of slanderers, on the contrary, he is persecuting me, Nichiren. Hello? The king of the Brahma heaven, Indra, the sun, the moon, the four heavenly kings, and the terrestrial gods whose duty it is to protect the Lotus Sutra, regarded slanderers of the true Dharma as outrageous in the past. However, when nobody pointed out such slanders, these deities sometimes ignored them, just as parents overlook the mischief of their soul child. Although at other times they punished him with as little as a warning. Today, however, the ruler not only appoints slanderers of the true Dharma to official positions, but also persecutes the man who happened to remonstrate him, not just for 1 or 2 days, 1 or 2 months, and 1 or 2 years, but for many years. Nichiren has been persecuted more severely than never despising Bodhisattva, who was beaten with sticks and pieces of wood, and monk virtue consciousness, who was about to be murdered, upholding the true Dharma in the past. And that's from stories of the sutras, right? Therefore, the king of the Brahma heaven, Indra, the sun, the moon, the four heavenly kings, the stars and the terrestrial gods, in other words, the universe, all are angry with the ruler and warn him often by sending strange phenomena in the sky and natural calamities on earth. Since he does not perceive their warning and only intensifies the persecution of the man who remonstrates, they orders a sagacious ruler of a neighboring land to chastise the ruler of Japan and send demons into his land to deceive the people and cause internal disruptions. So obviously the hyperbole of the day, we still have this hyperbole, right? We still have politicians invoking the axis of evil and all manner of interpretations of God and religion to justify their actions. And this is what Nichiren is saying here. If you use those tools of perception of these stories in this folklore, even then it is obvious that this assault on the proper practice and understanding of the value of life itself, because that's Buddhism. Buddhism is about reverence for life. And so we behave with that reverence. We exalt life. This is what our Buddha mind avails us to seeing and experiencing, so that we're constantly life-affirming. And when somebody calling themselves Buddhists is in a position of power and doing it for their greed, their own advancement, their ego, then that life-affirming sensibility of life is lost. It's like you just got stepped on and squashed in favor of what? Might? What power do you really have? It's fake. It's delusional. But here they go, marching around. And then, of course, the environment reflects that. Oh, yeah. Well, here, you too. If you're life-affirming, your environment affirms your life. How simple a formula. Great events, regardless if they are good or bad, are foreshadowed by great omens. We always have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen, right? Cause and effect. It's not a mysterious relationship. What's mysterious is how cleverly we avoid our intimate relationship with those activities. It is our environment, after all. It's not a separate thing. The Buddhism constantly repeats this. We saw the largest comet we've ever seen in 2230, years or so since the death of the Buddha, and experienced the severest earthquake we've ever had in history. They foretell the destruction of Japan. At the same time, they are omens of the appearance of the true practicer of the Lotus Sutra in Japan. Because we know this push-pull of the entire universe, right? When something happens, you can say it's an omen of things coming, but it's an omen because it's in a contradiction of something else opposing it. What could be opposing it that would cause such great calamities to arise? But someone or some force that opposes it. Shall we just say that all life unaffirming behavior just sweeps over the planet and washes it clean, and then there's no more humanity, no more mind? Pfft, done. Would we even notice? The reason we notice is because we have a mind, even if it's a small mind, a singular mind, or a group of minds, Itai Doshin, right? That represents life affirming, and therefore everything that isn't is very obvious. This is what he's saying. Why would there be all these calamities if not for the existence of one who opposes those forces? They foretell the destruction of Japan. There have been many sages endowed with wisdom and talent in China and Japan, but none has ever believed in the Lotus Sutra as firmly as I, Nichiren, nor has anyone had as many strong enemies in the land as I do. From these facts, you should recognize Nichiren to be the prime practicer of the Lotus Sutra in the world. Once again, Nichiren, however this is translated, the words tell you, Nichiren isn't saying, I'm the karma buster, I'm the one who's doing all this for the sake of life and humanity. He still places himself solely as one who practices the Lotus Sutra correctly. That's what's rattling things. Not me, I'm just a guy. But I've taken on this mission, this mantle, this quest, not as a man, but as a practitioner, a practicer, a knowledge-based entity to actualize this Lotus Sutra teaching. That's the core. That's the real life-affirming thing, the engine of life. Myoho Renge Kyo, I, Na, Mu, practice. Myoho Renge Kyo, the engine of life. I, me, practice. Mu, own, believe in, dedicate my life to. Mu, Myoho Renge Kyo. Na, Mu, Myoho Renge Kyo. Yeah, that's what he's saying. It has been more than 700 years since the Buddhism was introduced to Japan, bringing with it 5,000 or 7,000 scrolls of Buddhist scriptures and the development of 8 or 10 Buddhist schools. Men of wisdom have been as numerous as rice and hemp plants, and Buddhism has spread as briskly as bamboo forests or reed plants. Since no Buddhas have been as popular as the Buddha of Infinite Life, calling the name of this Buddha has spread most widely. So the benefit and the antithesis together, right? Just this flood of Buddhism by name. As for those who spread the practice of calling the name of Buddha of Infinite Life, Eshin or Genshin, who wrote the essential collection concerning the rebirth in the Pure Land, right? We've talked about that several times now. Converted 1/3 of Japanese people to Pure Land Buddhism. But not because his teaching was correct, but because it was popular. When Yokan wrote the 10 Reasons for Rebirth in the Pure Land and the Order of Service for Rebirth in the Pure Land, 2/3 of the people in Japan were converted to Pure Land Buddhism. Finally, Honen, wrote the collection of passages on the Nembutsu and the original vows, completing the conversion of all people in Japan. So not all those who recite the Nembutsu, calling the name of Buddha of Infinite Life, Amida, today are disciples of one master. So that aids in the confusion, because it's not just one guy who's promoting this. It's several people in power who have taken this mantle of the Pure Land and Amida and spread it about Japan. So your regular person who just likes to do what they're told and likes the outcome that these masters talk about, well, they're just following along what they're told. And the more of them masters, people in high places, say it, authority, the more there can be no question. Why? Look, they all say it, right? The Nembutsu is the title of the three canons of Pure Land Buddhism, namely the Sutra of the Buddha of Infinite Life, the one I was trying to remember earlier, the Sutra of Meditation on the Buddha of Infinite Life, and the Pure Land Sutra, which are provisional Mahayana sutras. Come on, this is what it says in the sutra. They're provisional. They're all pre-Lotus Sutra, and therefore they're all provisionals. But that's not the way they're being promoted, is it? Is not the spread of the title of provisional Mahayana sutras preliminary to the spread of the title of the true Mahayana Lotus Sutra? Hello? Why isn't anybody asking that question? Thoughtful people should contemplate this. The true sutra will spread after provisional sutras. The title of the true sutra will spread after that of the provisional sutras. I'm just stating this. I'm just Nichiren. I'm just a monk who's been studying this his whole life. And it's not me inventing this. It's not me subverting any previous. I'm reading this directly from the words of Shakyamuni Buddha. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just reading it. I have never seen or heard of any man of knowledge who recited Namu Myoho Renge Kyo himself and advised others to do so during the 700-year period between the reigns of Emperor Kimei, when Buddhism was introduced to Japan, and the latest emperor. It is only natural that when the sun rises, stars disappear. And when a wise king rises to power, an ignorant king is destroyed. So when the true Dharma spreads, provisional ones decline. And when a man of knowledge recites Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, ignorant people follow him. Just as a body is followed by its shadow, and a sound is followed by its echo. Consider what is said above. I, Nichiren, undoubtedly am the prime practicer of the Lotus Sutra in Japan. No one in China, India, and the whole world is comparable to me. Now that sounds like a very egotistical statement, but you have to take it in the context that Nichiren is saying it. Again, translation bias here. He is saying that his efforts toward the Lotus Sutra are the thing to be revered, not Nichiren the man. Do you follow? The cause of calamities and the reappearance of superior practice bodhisattva. Question: how did the great earthquake of the Shoka era and the great comet of the Buin era happen? Answer: Tendai has said, quote, men of knowledge know the causes of phenomena, and only snakes know the way of snakes. That's a clever answer. I don't know how satisfactory it is, but clever. Question: what does that mean? Answer: it means that when Bodhisattva superior practice emerged from the earth, as described in the 15th chapter of the Lotus Sutra, even such bodhisattvas as Maitreya, Manjushri, Avalokitesvara, and Medicine King, who had reached only one step below Buddhahood by conquering the 41 steps of darkness of mind, did not know that he had been called upon to spread Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, the essence of the lifespan of the Buddha, the 16th chapter of the Lotus Sutra, in the latter age of degeneration where we find ourselves now. It was because they had not yet conquered the fundamental darkness of mind, and therefore were still considered ignorant, even though they'd practiced decades, right? Question, is there anyone in Japan, China? So that was his answer to, what do you mean by men of knowledge know the causes of phenomena and snakes only know the way of snakes? If you don't attain or practice the Buddha way, then how would you understand? How could you see clearly? It's only through our Buddha mind, our Buddha-ness, that everything appears plainly to us, makes sense. We understand. Is there anyone in Japan, China, or India who knows the cause of these it's supposed to be calamities, but there's quite a typo in here. Answer. Even the great bodhisattvas who have extinguished delusions arising from false views and thoughts and conquered the 41 steps of darkness of mind, he's repeating himself, reaching the state of just one step below Buddhahood do not know it. How can anyone who has not extinguished delusions at all know it? You're asking me how these people, these great men of history, who amongst them would know how these calamities occur? Well, he's just described to you hundreds of years of history in Japan and prior in China of these supposedly great men, wise men, who are educated, they know, have subverted the teaching. Obviously, none of them attaining Buddhahood, none of them dissolving their darkness of mind, all deluded. How can you possibly expect to find a wise one among them? They're enemies of your enlightenment, of their own, certainly. Stupid question, right? Question, how can we deal with these calamities without a man of knowledge who knows the cause of them? Hello? For instance, if a man tries to cure an illness without knowing what causes it, his patient is bound to die. Yeah. So it is without doubt that when prayers are said by persons who do not know the cause of the calamities, the country will be ruined. How sad is it? Is this? Well, isn't that what I've been saying all along, Nichiren? Answer. Snakes can foretell a heavy rain a week in advance, and crows know what will happen all year round, either good or bad. This is because snakes are retainers of great dragons, and crows learn from their long traditions. Being an ordinary man, I, Nichiren, do not know the cause of calamities. With the help of the Buddha, however, I can try to explain the cause. Because I'm practicing the Lotus Sutra, I can have the clarity of mind to understand how this could come about. But I, Nichiren, the man, don't claim to have any special power. You see, once again, he's very specific about this. During the reign of King Ping in Chao China, when a man with a naked body and disheveled hair appeared, a man called Xing Yu predicted the downfall of the Chao dynasty within a century. When a violent earthquake crumbled mountains and destroyed rivers during the reign of King Yu of the same Chao dynasty, a man named Pai Yang predicted that the great king would encounter a great difficulty within a dozen years. The calamities today, such as the great earthquake of the Shoka era, and the great comet of the Bunyei era, are sent by the heavens angry at the ruler of Japan, who hates Nichiren and patronizes monks of the Zen, Pure Land, and Shingon schools, teachings leading to national destruction. Question, how can I believe that? Answer, it is said in the Sutra of the Golden Splendor that when evil men were regarded highly and good men were persecuted, constellations as well as rains and winds all went out of control. If this passage of the Sutra is correct, undoubtedly there are evil men in this country, whom its ruler and his subjects believe in. It is also without doubt that there are men of knowledge in this country whom the ruler of Japan hates and begrudges. Okay. The same sutra, where are we, time wise? The same sutra also states that when all the gods of the 33 heavens are angry, a strange comet will fall. Two suns will rise at the same time, and people will suffer from foreign invasion. Japan has already experienced strange phenomena in the sky and calamities on earth, as well as foreign invasions. Undoubtedly, the gods of the 33 heavens have all been angered or are angry. Now, again, he's speaking from expedient means, stories and folklore that's well known in the culture. And he's using them to show, look, even your or our old stories of fables that we've listened to since we were children, and our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandmothers listened to when they were children, they explained this phenomena. They made it obvious, right? Even if you want to divide it into good or evil, if there's good behavior, it's rewarded by good circumstance. If there's bad behavior, it'll come back to bite you in the butt. I mean, we know these stories in our own ways, right? They're constantly following us as humanity has developed. So Nichiren is basically saying, look, all of this is recorded throughout time. This isn't my idea. Humanity has known this forever, and it is captured in the teachings as well. Because it's so endemic in our cultures, we know better. So why are you asking me like I have the answer? You have the answer. We know this cellularly. Yeah? It is said in the Sutra of the Benevolent King that many evil monks seek fame and profit by preaching to the king, crown prince, and princes false dharmas that destroy Buddhism and ruin the country, while the king, unable to distinguish the true dharma from the false ones, because that hasn't been his life study, that's why he's hired these others to do that, listens to them and believes them. He just takes them at their word. And if what they do creates a problem for him, he just beheads them and gets new ones. He's not bothered by truth. He's political. The sutra also declares that the sun and moon will not rise with regularity. Seasons will reverse their order. The red or black sun will rise. 2, 3, 4, 5 suns all rise at the same time. An eclipse of the sun will occur, making it completely dark, or 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5 halos will appear around the sun. Now, this isn't to say these were expert astronomers that could predict these things. Of course, they're not real things. But this is the conceptual look as to how your mind might perceive the world. How would your mind react to suddenly seeing multiple suns and the heat? You can just go on and on, right? It's very confusing. So there'd be a lot of confusion given these situations. That's the example. That's the story. The heart of these passages, right? So let's get to the meaning of all those passages, is that if a country is full of evil monks who deceive the king, his crown prince, and princes by preaching to them false dharmas for the ruin of Buddhism as well as the country, although they may not state it that way, the king and the others will be deceived by those evil monks and take their false dharmas for true Buddhism and true dharma for the tranquility of the country. That's what they want because it makes it easy for them to rule. They're unaware of the real consequences. They just know what they want. When they accept their words and put them into practice, the revolution of the sun and moon will change. And such calamities as strong winds, heavy rains, and big fires will occur. Next will come internal revolt, severe fighting amongst relatives, in which those who shouldn't be on the king's side will all be killed. After this country will be invaded by foreign soldiers, with people either committing suicide, being captured, or surrendering. This is how evil monks destroy Buddhism and demolish the country. Does that make sense? Watch the way your leaders go. They are leading, whether they understand that responsibility or not. Because they have legions of followers who don't question, who don't think. It is said in the Guardian Sutra, quote, "All the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha are indestructible from the outside. Even by all the heavenly kings, non-Buddhists, evil men, and hermits, and with mastery of the five superhuman powers. However, they will be completely destroyed without a trace internally by evil monks who are monks in name and appearance only." This is just like Mount Sumeru, which will not be hurt at all, even if it is burned for a long time, with all the grasses and trees in the whole world as fuel. However, when the time comes for destruction of the world and the conflagration at the end of the kalpa of destruction begins within the world, it will be burned up in no time at all without leaving even ashes. Nichiren continues. It is also said in the Lotus Flower Mask Sutra, the Buddha declared to Ananda that when lions die, no creatures in the sky, the earth, water, or on land would eat their corpses. Only those worms begotten by the lions themselves would eat the corpses. So it is with Buddhism. Buddhism would not be destroyed from the outside. Evil monks within his own Buddhist order would destroy the true Dharma, which he had attained through hard work for an incalculably long period of time, three great Asamkhya Kalpas. As for the meaning of these sutras, Kashyapa Buddha, the sixth of the seven Buddhas in the past, preached to King Kirki about the latter age of the generation after the death of Shakyamuni Buddha. Considering what kind of men could destroy the teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha, it is stated even such a wicked man as King Mihirakula, who burned down all the Buddhist temples in entire India and murdered monks and nuns of 16 great kingdoms in India, or Emperor Wutsung of Tang China, who destroyed over 4,600 temples and towers in 9 states and secularized 260,500 monks and nuns, could not destroy the Buddhism of Shakyamuni Buddha. It would be destroyed by those Buddhist monks who wear the three robes, carry a bowl for begging around their necks, know 80,000 Buddhist teachings by heart, and recite the 12 kinds of Buddhist scriptures. It is just as Mount Sumeru, a mountain made of gold, will not be damaged at all, even if it is burned with all the grasses and trees of the entire world piled up to heaven for not only a year, but two, but for millions of billions of years. However, when a conflagration starts at the end of the kalpa of destruction, a fire as small as a pea will begin at the base of Mount Sumeru, and it will soon burn to ashes not only the Mount Sumeru, but also the entire world. This is the infection, the poison of ego. If what is predicted in these sutras is right, Does it not mean that monks of the 10 or 8 schools of Japanese Buddhism will burn down Mount Sumeru of Buddhism? The angry spirit of Hinayana monks of the Kusha, Jojitsu, and Ritsu schools, being envious of Mahayana Buddhism, is the fire that will burn down Buddhism. Such monks as Shubhakarashima, right, of Shingon Buddhism, Shanchai of Zen school, and Shandao of the Pure Land school are like grasshoppers who germinate from the lion, Buddhism, to eat up its corpse. Grandmaster Dengyo called the eminent masters of the six schools of Nara six worms. I, Nichiren, name the founders of the Shingon Zen and Pure Land schools three worms. Such Tendai monks as Jikaku, Anen, and Eshin are the three worms germinating in the body of a lion, the Lotus Sutra, and Grandmaster Dengyo. Pretty powerful assertions, right? Let's see, that's 50 minutes. Okay. So, this Gosho has shifted a bit now from locating, justifying, and elocution on the Lotus Sutra being the teaching for this age. He's made that point. He's now making the contemporaneous point in his day in Shogunate Japan, how those few who are taking the teaching of the Lotus Sutra, the core of Shakyamuni's teachings, and essentially being loud and proud about it, although most are doing it in secret so they don't get beheaded, Nichiren has taken the mantle of that, and he will be the lion who roars the truth of Buddhism. And he's also showing how his life has been treated by those others, non-Buddhists, calling themselves Buddhists, evil monks from within Buddhism who are tearing it down because of their subversions and their use of the people's ignorance and the emperor's ignorance for power, self-gain, politics, so on. That he is the little boy in the crowd going, the emperor is naked. And that's a fact. Like the Lotus Sutra is a fact. So now he's enforcing, by virtue of his own experience, as example, that what's happening in Japan is a contemporaneous day for his detractors and for those studying what's going on in Japan, observing it with a mind, how the teaching of the Lotus Sutra is being validated in his own day and the other sutras, if you read them correctly, not turn them upside down, all point to why Japan is in the state it is in the day of Nichiren. So he's going to talk a little more about that. And then three outstanding predictions. So he's basically going to issue a warning. First, second. And then we'll move into how important it is to dedicate your life to the correct practice. So not much more to go in this, but tons of information. on self-practice, on the value of the Lotus Sutra, its appropriate valuation, its appropriate for the time, how one may have tremendous obstacles in confusion and misinformation to overcome. Yeah, we have that today, right? I mean, it's my whole motivation for this channel is to just get rid of the baloney, the politic, the manipulation. I just want to do exactly as Nichiren is saying. I just want to practice the correct Buddhism. I don't want to mess around with favor and clubs and belonging. I belong to humanity, a very rare thing. For a very short period of time, relatively speaking, look at the universe. I want to make that the maximal amazing thing that has every potential to be. So why would I want to diddle around with these other ignoble perversions of life? Come on. Whatever amazing thing might happen out of these magical, mystical craziness, it pales so much in comparison to just actualizing full potential. It's all I want to do. I don't need your agenda and your club and your numbers and your activities. If you want to practice Lotus Sutra Buddhism with me side by side, amazing, exponentially amazing. Let's do that. Right? That's what you and I are doing with our Sangha, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. It's amazing. Even if only for brief moments. But that is everything. There cannot be any more than that. So thank you. Thank you for practicing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for downloading the audio podcasts. Many of you are. Get all the information from the website and this channel. Search this channel. The bookstore. If you don't have a mandala yet, please. It's so easy to get it off cafepress.com/gohanzon. Just go get one. Even a tiny one. It's a digital copy of one of the final mandalas Nichiren's own hand inscribed, not somebody else's. I mean, it's Nichiren we practice, so why would you want anyone else's? I've never understood that. Okay, I love you guys. I'm so respectful of your practice. Please comment if you have anything to tell me or question me about. You'll only approve the Sangha for all of us. And stay healthy. Be kind to yourself. Sometimes this practice can be very challenging, but that just means it's working, right? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.